Mondays on X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network is brought to you by BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com and remember to download the BetMGM mobile app today.
Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Hadlin, Ryan Elke in the Motor City Studio. Anthony Bellino coming in from the Radio Bunker. And joining us right now on our Meyer Supercenter guest line, he is the coach, Darren Cohn, former NBA veteran scout, former NCAA assistant coach, and now joins us here on the radio. This is now twice in the last 7 days. Darren, how are you, my friend?
Man, I feel special, Bellino. I'll tell you what, I do a lot of sports talk radio and podcasts, and I'm always getting requests to do these type of shows, but this one is by far my favorite, and I think it's the one, I think I can honestly say this is the one that I've done the longest consecutively. Like, we've been doing this for some years now.
We have put some time in. That is for certain, my friend. That much is for certain. What a great weekend of college basketball. I mean, when you look at Saturday's games, the doubleheaders, I'm not going to lie, Houston-Baylor, I was a little nervous about what we were going to get in game two, because I was like, hey, if this thing, you know, because Baylor jumped all over Houston from the get-go. I mean, they were 45-20 at halftime, and I was like, well, this is, you know, people are going to lose some interest. We're going to get a lot of pushback on, this is why I don't watch college basketball, or the, you know, the tournament, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, we got Gonzaga, UCLA in game number two, and overtime thriller, just a peak March Madness in full effect. The only difference, or the only thing I would have requested, is if we could have gotten Gus Johnson on the call. Outside of that, I mean, it was an awesome March Madness game.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, man. I got home about 5 minutes late for that Baylor-Houston game, and I didn't miss anything because I think the game was already over. So, you know, disappointed as you stated, but as I told you this past week, Baylor and Houston were so similar in terms of style of play and what they were good at, but Baylor was just better in every category, so that result doesn't surprise me at all. But man, that next game, you know, for any of your listeners that were listening this past week, I gave them the tip. You could have made $1 million, because there was no way that Gonzaga was going to beat UCLA by 14.5 or whatever the initial
this
point
is true
was.
You did say that, studio audience, they loved it, they all got paid this week.
But man, what a terrific game, and the high level of shot making. I mean, it wasn't just one guy on either team. I mean, there was four or five guys that made huge shots in that second half. I mean, for Cincinnati, how about Riley? Man, they couldn't get him. I mean, Cincinnati, what am I saying? For UCLA, I'm thinking of Mick Cronin in Cincinnati. But how about Riley making those jump shots? They did a great job fronting the post, so he couldn't get the post touches. He started hitting all them jump shots, and man, back and forth. Timmy was just amazing for Gonzaga. Kispert made big plays. Jalen Suggs, that block that Jalen Suggs made on a big.
Oh my goodness!
You didn't want that game to end. I will say, you know, I thought UCLA really should have won the game in regulation. I was telling you off air, you know, that's not really Juzang's game to attack the rack and force contact when he drew that charge. Timmy was there. He's bigger. He was there early. It was a great call, great play. He took that charge. I think if Juzang would have stopped and shot that 6, 7, 8 foot pull up, you know, UCLA might have got out of there with a win at the buzzer, because that's his game. I mean, he 1, 2, 3 dribbles. He gets the space and he pulls up and he hits jump shots in space. He's not as great. I don't want to say he's not as great, because he's just a phenomenal player. But his bread and butter is not, you know, ram it down your throat. I'm going to be more physical, more stronger than you. And that's what he was trying to do in that last play. You know, it's winning time, go to the basket, try to get fouled. Exactly what I believe, exactly the philosophy I teach. However, in that moment, might not have been the best decision for him. So Gonzaga basically ran away from him in overtime and you know, proved why they're undefeated, man. You gotta pitch a shutout to beat Gonzaga. And Cincinnati was close. How good was Tiger? Man, their point guard, but they just, I should say, I said it again, UCLA was close, but they just couldn't close the door.
Well, I'm telling you what, you know, if you would have went into this game and said that UCLA will take Gonzaga to overtime, you know, I think that most people would have raised their eyes and said, okay, maybe this UCLA team, I don't know, because it's March Madness, but look, you're not this good for 4, 5, 6 games in a row without really proving that, hey, no, we are this good. So for whatever the struggles were at the end of the season for the Bruins there and Mick Cronin's crew, you know, you talk about momentum building into next season. I mean, hello, UCLA. The Bruins are back, baby. I mean, I think this is huge to set them up for the future. I look at this game and this tournament run by this particular team as a catalyst for UCLA basketball moving forward. They needed, you know, something like this to, I don't want to say put them back on the map because it's UCLA, but a lot of their success is, you know, wooden related, right? And so we look back and it's like, okay, yeah, they dabbled in the 90s or whatever, but you know, you still go back to, well, they, you know, people think that, oh, they were only good with John Wooden. If Mick Cronin kind of resurrects UCLA and gets them back into that national conversation where people in the Eastern time zone are now paying attention to Pac-12 hoops, where they're now looking to UCLA in some of these non-conference, I don't want to call them preseason tournaments because they're not preseason, but you get what I'm saying, some of those, you know, Battle for Atlantis type of deals where people are excited about UCLA basketball again, I think this is the tournament that Mick Cronin really starts to kind of flip the script for what UCLA has been and what they will be moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, UCLA, you know, they have a down year and everybody, you know, kind of forgets about them, but they've been good. You know, Ben Howland, I believe, went to 3 Final Fours as UCLA's head coach in the early 2000s. But, you know, a lot of people talked about they lost 4 games in a row going into the tournament, but they lost to good teams. I mean, they didn't lose to no bums. They lost to 4 teams that were in the NCAA tournament. And they just got it going at the right time. And don't get me wrong. If Gonzaga and UCLA play 10 games in a row, Gonzaga's probably going to win 9 of them. But UCLA was playing with so much confidence and so much swagger. Like, you know, they had that March Madness mojo, like, we can't be beat. And, man, they were almost right.
And for UCLA in that game, they had 4 of their 5 starters in double figures, including Ju Zhang, who went for 29 in the ballgame. Gonzaga matched that with 5, all 5 starters in double figures. Neither team, I mean, you know, if you looked at what the bench production was, you know, it's 6 points off the bench for UCLA. For Gonzaga, it was 4. You know, it was really, you know, this was a game for, hey, here's our limited rotation, because you know the basketball rotations, and even, you know, whether it's collegiate or professional, you get into games like this, your bench just shrinks. It just is what, I mean, you got to ride with your stars. And I thought that it was a wonderful game to see the kids who have been great all season. Everybody played really well in that ball game. Like, if you looked at the shooting percentages, they were off the charts. I mean, everybody was basically better than 50% for both teams that started. It was incredible.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. And now, you know, we got the showdown on Monday night.
That's right. Tonight, 9:20 CBS, you'll get number 1 Baylor against number 1 Gonzaga. So it's not very often that we get 2 number 1 seeds. It feels like this is kind of a rarity. I might have to go check, you know, some sort of record book to be sure, just to be positive that much is true. But to get 2 1 seeds matched up against each other, I think this is a Final 4 bracket that with Gonzaga and Baylor in the national championship game. I think if we scoured the brackets across the country, these are probably 2 teams that a lot of people were very confident in getting this far. They do get this far. Maybe this is a year where we, you know, crown a quote unquote true champion, if you want to go that route. But Gonzaga having the opportunity to go wire to wire, preseason number 1, finish the regular season at number 1, and win the national championship and go undefeated, a feat that isn't often accomplished here at the collegiate level. I don't care what conference you play in, Gonzaga has been great. And I don't know if we don't, like, the AP poll ranks them number 1. Because the writers believe that they're very good. And if you talk to opposing coaches, they know that Gonzaga is really good. This tournament right here kind of proves to the viewer that, yes, this team is really good. Despite the fact that they play in a weaker conference, they moonwalk through it because that's exactly what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're phenomenal and they can't, you know, I always say control the variables you can control, and they can't really control what conference they're in or who they line up against certainly during the conference schedule. You just got to go out and compete night in and night out. And they've done that. And, you know, no team has went wire to wire since my guy Bobby Knight with the 1976 Indiana Hoosiers. So it'll be interesting to see if they can do that. But what's really special about this game is, you know, we got not only the 2 number 1 seeds, but we got the 2 teams that were preseason number 1 and number 2 in a crazy year after COVID. We couldn't wait to just play. And, you know, so no one really, you know, all the experts didn't really have a great feel for who had what because there was so much transferring and the season never finished last year. But preseason number 1 and number 2, Gonzaga and Baylor, going into the tournament, number one and number two, Gonzaga and Baylor. And now tonight, Gonzaga and Baylor, number one and number two, at least in the, you know, in overall ranking. And man, it's crazy when you look at them. Gonzaga is the number one scoring efficiency from 2 point out of all 350 Division I teams. They're the best 2 point shooting team in the country. And not only are they the best this year, but they broke an all time NCAA record held by Princeton from 30 some years ago or something. They're shooting almost 64% from two. Then you have Baylor, who is the best 3 point shooting team in the country this year, number one 3 point shooting team on offense. And both of these teams have pros, and both of these teams defend, and they both have great coaches. So, I mean, and I'm not saying they defend a little bit. I mean, these guys guard. And usually you got to pick a team identity. They're either considered a, you know, a defensive juggernaut or a defensive-minded team, or, you know, they're just super efficient offensively, or they really shoot the ball well. Both of these teams do both. So it's an awesome matchup. When you really break it down, I mean, coaching-wise, pretty much even. You know, you could flip a coin. When you look at the guards, pretty much even. You can flip a coin both sides. Now, on the bigs, Gonzaga definitely has a better front court. They got more talented bigs than Baylor. But then you mentioned this a minute ago, 4 points off the bench for Gonzaga in the Final Four game. You know, I think Baylor definitely gets the edge and having a little bit more depth. And I'm not talking about just depth of bodies that can come in, but the impact they get off their bench. I mean, they get double-digit scoring off their bench, where Gonzaga hasn't really done that because, you know, their four really all five starters are so strong. So, man, what a matchup. I can't wait to 9:20 to watch it.
I know, 9:20, right? They got to do that to us again. Veteran NBA scout and a collegiate coach, Darren Cohen, joining us right now here on X's and Bros on the Meyer Supercenter guest line. You know, Darren, when you look at this Baylor team, there's some actual ties here to our, you know, the coaching staffs. When you start looking at coaching trees, who's been where? Basketball is a very small world where everybody kind of knows everybody who's in the game.
We all know each other. We all know each other. If you do it long enough, I'll tell you, when I was first trying to get into coaching, I borrowed my grandmother's Dodge Intrepid, and I drove to the Final Four, and this was, I believe, 1995. I was a freshman coach and varsity assistant at Bowser High School as I was finishing up my undergraduate degree. I slept in the Intrepid in the parking garage at the Hyatt Hotel in Indianapolis at the Final Four that year, so I could get out and network and meet coaches. One of the very first coaches I met was Dan Munson, who was the head coach at Gonzaga at the time. Mark Few was his assistant. We sat and chatted for a while. It's so crazy to see how Dan, you know, went to Minnesota and then went to Long Beach State, and Mark just kept it going because Gonzaga was good back then with Dan Munson. But the real tie to Northwest Ohio, our freshman year, I played basketball at a school in Chicago called Benedictine University, and my dad was diagnosed with cancer, so I transferred back to the University of Toledo, and I served as a student assistant, student manager under Stan Joplin. Well, the best player on the team that year was a 6'11 center named Casey Shaw. Casey Shaw ended up being my neighbor. We became great friends. Casey Shaw married Dana Drew, who was an All-American for the Lady Rockets, one of the three or four best players ever to play for the Lady Rockets, and still holds tons of records. It has her jersey in the rafters. So Dana Drew is Homer Drew's daughter. Homer Drew was the head coach of Valparaiso at the time, father of Scott Drew, who was his assistant. And their best player was a young man named Bryce Drew, who's now the head coach at Grand Canyon after setting all kinds of college records and playing in the NBA and coaching at Vanderbilt. Now he's at Grand Canyon. So Homer Drew retires. Scott Drew becomes the head coach of Valparaiso, has success. Opportunity comes for him to go to Baylor, and he's been at Baylor since the early 2000s, 2003, I believe. But all those ties really come back to my relationship with meeting Casey Shaw and Dana Drew here in the 419 area code. So I used to go out and work basketball camp at Valparaiso University in the summertime and hang out with Scott and Bryce and Homer and the whole family, Dana and Casey. And we would just have a good old time over at the ARC building, which was their rec center in Valparaiso, Indiana. So kind of cool ties that Scott's playing for the national championship, and his sister was a star for the University of Toledo Rockets, and his brother-in-law was a star for the University of Toledo Rockets as well.
Wow. It's just everybody knows everybody. Next thing you know, you're hanging out, having a couple of pops with people that tonight will later on be, you know, challenging for a national title. Once again, the game is 9:20 on CBS. Who do you like in this game between Baylor and Gonzaga?
Man, so sentimentally, I really want Baylor to win, obviously, for basically the story I just told. You know, those are my people. Those are close personal friends. We talk, we text. When I was at Stephen F. Austin, I scheduled games against Baylor. We actually beat Baylor when I was at Stephen F. Austin at Baylor in 2005. We beat them at their place. It was like Scott's second or third year. But I know all of his assistants. I basically know every assistant he's had for the last 15 years. And, you know, I would just love for that family who's done so much for the game of college basketball to be able to be victorious tomorrow night, especially, you know, taking over the Baylor program that basically was facing the death penalty after all the issues they had there. But deep down inside, I just, you know, I'm one of them believers that you don't lose your stance on the top of the mountain until someone knocks you off. And I just feel like Gonzaga is that good. And they're that tough. And they got that mojo. They got that chemistry. They share it. There's so many weapons. I just don't see Gonzaga losing. Now, I'm no expert in football, but I do know every year it seems like it, for the national championship and the BCS game, you know, the underdog hears about it day after day that they can't win and they can't beat whoever and they can't beat whoever. And more times than not in that BCS, you know, Final Four game, it seems like the underdog wins. So, you know, maybe there's some of that going on too, where Baylor here and everybody say that Gonzaga is going to win. Gonzaga is a 4.5 point favorite, so almost 5 point favorite on the Vegas line. And all the gurus and people like us and people on ESPN and CBS are all picking Gonzaga. So, you know, maybe that fuels, you know, some divine intervention and an extra level for Baylor, which I'm hopeful for. But I think Gonzaga is gonna run the gamut and go undefeated for the first time since 1976 and only appropriate in 2021 after everything we've all faced in the last, you know, 13 months.
And for the fans out there that might catch this game that don't know much about either squad, Gonzaga comes in 31-0. Baylor's 27-2. Their only two losses were against teams that at the time it was a 17th-ranked Kansas team that they lost 71-58, and they lost to Oklahoma State 83-74. Outside of that, they've been perfect and lights out in a very good conference in the Big 12, and it should be a lot of fun later on tonight on CBS. He is Darren Cohn, veteran NBA scout, former collegiate coach. Darren, my friend, as always, thank you so much for your time today. Greatly appreciate it. Have a wonderful rest of your day and enjoy the game a little bit later on tonight.
Thank you, sir. Always enjoy joining your show. And I appreciate the opportunity. And you know, it's going to be a good one. We'll talk about it here again soon.